The book of Romans, the first chapter, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. And I want to speak this morning concerning the responsibility of man. We stand responsible before God. If you're here and you're not saved, you will stand before God responsible before Him. Exodus tells about the deliverance through the blood. I believe deliverance is still through the blood. Amen? Through the blood. But here we find that man is responsible and he is without excuse. And when I use the word man, I use the word anthropos, which means man or woman. Mankind is without excuse. The Bible says here in Romans 1, verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Can you not see the great God through creation? You can see the beauty. You can see the marvel of it all. Being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, look at this, so that they are without excuse. I won't get into the science of all of that, but the atoms and how things are formed, and you're actually sitting on atoms today. I mean, the invisible things, and then through them are things that are formed, and God is in control of all of that. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. The first few words there is what I want us to catch hold of. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. What is an excuse? Well, it's a justification. And we have a lot of people doing that today. They justify themselves. Well, I'm this way because of the way I was raised, and because of my environment, and because my mama didn't love me, and my daddy beat me with a rod, or whatever. No. You are who you are because you are who you are. And you will stand responsible before God. You are without excuse. Without excuse. An excuse is finding an alibi for not doing what you ought to do. My children found all kind of alibis for not doing what they ought to do. Why didn't you sweep that floor? Well, the phone rang and somebody was calling. You were on there for about 3 hours. I mean, you know, it's just an alibi for not doing what we ought to do. Excuses are walls that we hide behind to evade the responsibility of our action. We hide behind these walls. And everybody makes excuses. It used to be a song, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The who will supply you? The devil will supply you. He will. Be sure of this. Whatever your excuse is, God will not accept your excuse. He holds you without excuse. That's what the Bible says. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and verse 31 says this, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Do you believe that? He commandeth all men everywhere to repent without excuse. It's His command. Because He hath appointed a day. There's a day coming. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. He's appointed that day. In which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. The God-man, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and up from the grave He arose. Mighty triumph for His foes. Now, man seeks hiding places. He seeks hiding places to evade his responsibility. Adam hid behind the trees there in the forest. Adam, where art thou? Did God know right where he was? Sure he did. But he called to him so that Adam would feel the responsibility of responding to God. He did. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now let me tell you this, if you're lost, you're naked before God. You don't have any clothes of righteousness. The Bible teaches. Man hides from the truth. Acts 7:57 says, then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. Well, we've got them doing that today. They stopped their ears and ran upon Stephen. Ran upon him with one accord. They hide. Man hides from the truth. You can hear it over and over and over and still be hiding with the truth being all around you. Man hides from guilt and repentance. That's why they want to do away with the Ten Commandments everywhere. They don't want to be guilty, but they are guilty, and whether they get every copy of the Ten Commandments taken off of everything in public view, they will still be guilty before God. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Hiding from guilt and repentance. Now there are some excuses that have been popular for a long time. They're popular today like they've been in the past. Excuses for not coming to the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. Some say, I belong to a church. Well, a church will not save you. Independence Baptist Church has no saving power. It is a body of regenerated, baptized believers who have covenanted together to carry out the Great Commission. But the church does not save. Now, there are those within almost earshot of my preaching today who believe in what is called sacerdotalism. They believe that salvation is in the church. You've got to belong to their church to get to heaven. No, you've got to belong to Jesus to get to heaven. It's not what church you belong to, although I believe you ought to belong to a New Testament Baptist church. Why? That's my conviction. That's my conviction because of the truths that are laid out by true churches. There are those who need to quit making excuses and believe the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel does not save, but it points you to the Lord Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. It's very important that we see this. Those who say they belong to a church, the church will not save you. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born from above, or you'll never see the kingdom of God. Now, I don't believe that primarily means going to heaven. I believe it means seeing God's kingdom with spiritual eyes. I saw the kingdom the night that I was saved. I was birthed into it. Kingdom of God. Salvation is not in the church, nor not in a man. It's not in John Wesley. It's not in John Calvin. It's not in John Knox. In the Lord Jesus. For the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You must come by the blood of Jesus. You come to Him, and He brings salvation. Dear friends, this morning, and you may be a member of the church, but you've never been saved. That happens. That happens. The question is not whether or not you're a member of the church, but do you belong to Christ? And then there is the excuse where people say, I can't live the Christian life. When I get to the place, and I've had people tell me that, when I get to the place that I can live it, then I'm going to become a Christian. You'll never get there. You'll never, ever get there. None of us can live the Christian life without Christ living in us. Now, you may be good and you may be moral, but friends, you can't live the Christian life because that is a life of the Spirit. It's a life of the Spirit. It's not our works that save us. I never tire of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, do you? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you'll trust Christ, He will keep you. He will sustain you. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, Jude 24. Dear friend, He's the one that will sustain you. He will give you the strength and the power and the energy to live the life that you ought to live for Him. It is Christ who gives us that strength. My life's verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a new life. That doesn't mean we're perfect here. But we have a new life. Our want to has changed. We enjoy being with God's people. We want to do what God would have us to do. The Lord does a work in us. He does a work. He did a work in me. He changed my mind. That's what repentance is really all about. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, I believe it is, it says that they turned to God from idols. Is that right? They turn to God from idols. Now, there are churches that teach and preach that you've got to come down and you've got to repent of all of your sins to be saved. Well, that, listen, you can repent of everything you've ever done. But if you don't look to Jesus, you're going to hell. It's not giving up sin that saves. It's Jesus who saves. Now, I believe you ought to confess your sins, but that's not what saves you. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And we need to keep that in mind. The caterpillar. Do you like little worms? Ladies, do you like little worms crawling around? You like caterpillars? Most women don't. Patty's different, but that's okay. I like different people. But I'm not much on those little things. I mean, if I get a Catawba worm, go fishing, but I'm not much on worms. But that worm, what does that old worm do? That worm will crawl up and get on a little branch, and what happens? Well, makes a cocoon, am I right? There's a cocoon, that caterpillar, makes a cocoon. And then something takes place which is called meta what? Somebody tell me. Metamorphosis. That caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly by metamorphosis. Do you know what the word repent is in the New Testament? Metanoia. It means a change, noia, meta, change, noia, mind. It's not changing action. It's changing your mind. Your mind gets changed and you don't change it. He does. But your mind changes and you become something you could never have been before. What a beautiful thing that the Lord does for us in repentance. And He gives us what we need to live for Him. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's that change. Get that divine nature, having escaped the corruption, such a worm as I, crawling around in the dirt, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We've escaped that through the blood of Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And some say, I don't believe in God. I run into that on the ships with the Russians in particular. One of them was real hot one day. Man, I gave him, I don't believe in God. I said, you're a fool. Of course, with Russians, you've got to be up front with them. You don't toy with them. They want you to get in there with them. He said, what'd you say? I said, you're a fool according to the Bible, not according to me. He said, where's it saying? I said, it says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He said, oh. Oh. And then I gave him the gospel. Gave him the gospel. But that's what the Bible says. People need to know the truth. There's no excuse. The Bible is plain. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. One of the biggest things we're facing in our society today are people who say they do not believe in God. And they don't believe the Bible. We're getting in this country like they are in France and in Spain. We're becoming European. And that's what our government wants us to become, and wants us to become socialist and be in that European model. And that includes godlessness. Ungodly. Nature points to the Creator. The invisible things. We saw that in Romans chapter 1. The Bible calls those who do not believe fools. And there is a price. Listen to me. You say, well, I don't care, preacher. I am an unbeliever. I do not believe in God. I don't care what you say. Well, you'll pay a price one day for your unbelief. You will pay a price. Revelation 21:8 says this, but the fearful, those who are fearful of their friends, of their family, of whoever, fearful even of trusting God because of the results of it, the fearful, the unbelieving, those who do not believe, they're unbelievers. I'm a believer. An unbeliever is one who does not believe in what Christ did for sinners. And the abominable, and we're seeing that our Supreme Court just legalized abomination. That's what they did. That's abominable. It's ungodly. It's wicked. And murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, and the word sorcery there brings with it the idea of witchcraft and also drugs involved. And idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, wait a minute, I'm a good person. He will not send me to hell. Yes, He will. Unbelieving. Those who are unbelievers must go to hell because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. I cannot go to hell. I can't go. I'm not going. Lady told me one day. She got mad at me. I don't know what it was that made her so mad. She told me to go straight to H-E double hockey sticks. And I don't know why I said, ma'am, I cannot go. And she got hotter. But the truth is, I cannot go. Amen? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But listen, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. In the name of the only begotten Son of God, hath not believed that Christ died for his or her sins, was buried, and rose again. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That means as good as in hell. The wrath of God's abiding on you, young person. Wrath of God abiding on you, adult. You're responsible before God. There is no excuse. I've had them say, I'm too sinful. You don't know the life I've lived. I'm too sinful. When I hear that, I think of Paul, the apostle, who in 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I've argued with him about that before in my mind. But he knew he was a dirty, rotten, no good scoundrel. Held the cloaks as they stoned Stephen. Was headed to arrest and I believe even kill if he had to, believers, when the Lord arrested him. Amen. Oh, my dear friend, don't say you're too sinful. Sinner, your sin need not be an obstacle, for He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:12-13 says, but when Jesus heard this, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call self-righteous people to salvation, but those who knew and know that they're sick, that they're on the way to hell and they need Jesus. He came to call them. He did. You're a sinner. You're weak. You don't have the strength. And you say, I'm just too wicked. But the Bible says in Romans 5:6, and I think I'll read down through verse number 8 here where it says, for when we were yet without strength, Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You say, I'm too sinful. No. He came. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. You're not going to die for me. I'm not all that good, but you're not going to die for me. Christ did. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for sinners. Friend, don't use that excuse that you're too sinful. No. He died for sinners. The Bible says that. And it could be that you believe you're a good person. You don't need salvation. And I find that in churches where folk have grown up since the cradle roll and they believe they're good, and for some reason, they don't see the need of salvation. There are many scriptures that teach us that being good will not save you. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that we cannot be good enough, moral enough, to make it into heaven. Keeping the law won't save you. Run into that on the ships. Well, I try to keep Ten Commandments. I try to go by God's law. No, 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 that won't save you. That may give you a good moral life, but that will not save you. It will not save you. Romans 3, 19 and 20 says this. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Romans chapter 3, verse number 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. When Mary Alls was driving her car, headed home and came over a hill and came down that hill, and there was a patrolman there, you became guilty in the sight of the law. And I've done it too. I'm not picking on you. Have you ever had a patrol car come behind you and turn on the lights? Huh? And when that happens, what happens? That's it, Marie. You're guilty. The law makes you guilty. Now, the law doesn't save anybody. The law makes you guilty. And we've all sinned and broken God's law. The law will never save anyone. That's what it's saying here in 3. And I'm not going to tell you my stories about seeing blue lights. But there have been a few of them. But I always felt guilty. How about you? I mean, that's what the law does. And that's what it's saying here. And then in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law does. It says you are a sinner. You're a sinner. And if you are going to be saved, it will not be by your righteousness, because you have no righteousness. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Now friends, that's all I can do is fall on the mercy of heaven's court. I don't deserve anything other than hell itself. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Have you come to see today where you are, sinner? Have you come to see that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And according to His mercy, He'll save you by the washing of regeneration, which means He lets you see just where you are, the parts of that life where you can see, and He renews you by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Amen? That is what we need. Brother Wayne, you come, the song leader come, and have this verse of invitation. There is no excuse. You are without excuse before God. Do you believe that? Without excuse. If you leave here without Christ today, you're without excuse. You've heard the gospel today. You've heard it over and over. You are without excuse. Without excuse before God.